Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner, where we talk with other coaches and people who inspire, move, and motivate people to action. Listeners will learn about coaching and the many coaching niches and have an opportunity to ask questions of the many wonderful coaches who are my guests. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com. I'm doing a little experiment tonight, so you're actually listening to a special pre-recorded show. At least most of you are. There may be a couple of invited guests tonight. But for most of you, this is not a live show tonight. My guest on this show is Erin Cronican, and she's not just a triple threat, she's at least a quadruple threat. She can act, she can sing, she can dance, and she's a business coach who has coached actors in the business of acting for more than 7 years and has been involved in theater as an actor almost longer than she can remember. Erin has a substantial resume in the theater, television, and movies and has been acting professionally straight out of school. Along the way, Erin also developed significant skills in marketing and coaching and founded the Actors Enterprise to coach actors in having success in the business of acting. You can learn more about Erin on www.theactorsenterprise.org. The talented and lovely Erin Cronican, are you with us?
I am here. I can listen to you all day.
Oh, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be here, so thank you for having me.
I used to say that to my mother.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, they have to say yes.
Thank you for having me, I used to say.
So,
very interesting and diverse background. I took a look at your website and saw your pictures and some of the things you've done. Very, very exciting stuff.
Yes. Yes, we have to wear many hats as actors, so and coaches, of course.
So actually, I'd like to hear, maybe in the beginning, I'd like to hear more about the background in entertaining, performing, theater and all that stuff. Tell me about that.
Well, as a child, I loved singing and dancing around the house like you see many children do, but I made it an obsession, and I would memorize lots of lines from movies. And when I was in fifth grade, I noticed that our local youth theater was doing an audition for Charlotte's Web. And this was a cartoon. I knew everything. And I was pretty certain that I was going to be cast as Fern Arable, the cute little girl. And instead, I was cast as the Gander, which is not in the movie, surprisingly. It's only in the book and in the play. But that was the first of many roles where I played boys. It wasn't until I got to college I thought, wow, I can play a girl. It's amazing. So I've been acting since the age of 9, doing musicals and plays.
Wow. You know, when you start talking about memorizing lines from movies, did you ever see the movie Diner?
Oh, Diner. I don't know if I have.
Oh, great movie. Mickey Rourke, pre-boxing career.
Okay.
And oh, so many amazing people in that movie. But there was this one guy named Tate Rupert, and he played, it was a minor character, but he was obsessed with a particular movie, and he knew every line of this movie. And he'd just appear out of nowhere and starting to spout these lines from this movie.
Yes, that was a little bit like me.
So you can relate to that.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
So you are somebody who has been driven by passion that you've had since childhood, and you turned that into your career, and you've also taken some of the other things that you've learned along the way, and now you've turned that into a way of helping other people in your profession.
Exactly, exactly.
Awesome. So now I want to hear about how did you get to the coaching end of the acting arena?
I almost stumbled into it. When I graduated from theater school. I went to Pepperdine University on the West Coast. And instead of doing the normal route that actors do, which is to going to be a server or bartender, I instead got sucked into the corporate world. And I started working for an entrepreneur who, his passion was advertising publications. So these would be magazines or things that would be in the mail, online ventures that focused on advertising or bringing products for sale or services for sale to the general public. So I really cut my teeth on learning how businesses try to promote themselves, how they package themselves, and how they communicate it to others. So I was doing that at the same time as my acting career. And I started to find that I was using a lot of the skills from the corporate world in my acting career as well. And then I got my equity card, which for those of you who don't know a lot about professional theater, it is the union for professional stage actors. But once I got that union card, it meant I couldn't do any more community theater. And all of a sudden, a huge amount of the work that I had been doing, I couldn't do anymore, and I could only go for the professional work. Except professional work happens during the daytime, which is when corporate work happens too. So I had a choice. I then took a rigorous series of courses through Landmark Education, just happened to be at that time, and decided, you know, what could I provide to the world that would be of value, that would allow me to quit my corporate job and follow my dream of being an actor? And that's where the coaching came up, and that was in 2002.
By the way, I am also a graduate of many Landmark Education courses.
We're slowly taking over the world. I'm kidding.
Oh, God, I hope not. But But I would imagine that's there's an area of connectedness there, so I'm really, really extra happy to know
yes.
you now.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's basically what happened. And when I started in 2002, I first started working with high school kids. I wanted to do something that I didn't have myself, which was a mentor when I was a junior or senior in high school in going to college. You know, most kids, you either need to have a parent who's interested in the arts or you need to have a very, very savvy teacher. And most of our schools are so impacted that they don't have a lot of guidance, these kids. And if you don't have a lot of money, you may not have access to understanding the admissions process for theaters. So I started a coaching service to help actors prepare their admission package for the theater schools, how to do their audition, how to do their interview, how to write their essays that were specifically for the theater departments. And what ended up happening was more and more adults wanted to get that kind of training, and strangely. And so I thought I was a little ill-prepared for that. I thought, well, gosh, I'm almost a kid myself. What do I have to offer? And I found that there's a real divide between artists and the business and the industry, and I discovered that I really had something to offer. I could find a way to take business and break it down into bite-sized little pieces and make it something that artists can understand. And when artists are empowered to follow the business, they find a lot more inspiration, they find a lot more joy, and I already mentioned the word, they feel empowered. And I think this is the same across all industries. When you feel like someone else has the right or the ability to say, no, you won't work here, you feel disempowered. And so I'm teaching actors how to take some of that power back.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now you don't teach, you don't coach acting per se, correct?
Correct, correct. I only do I don't do the ABCs of acting, I do everything else. I do everything on what to do before you get the job and then what you do after you finish the job.
Okay. So now, the distinction between, I just want to get clear. So you as a coach of actors in their business, are you more of a mentor or a teacher? Or do you also help people bring out certain aspects of themselves?
I do. I do all of that. It's highly individualized. I imagine your coaching is the same way, where you find out where someone feels like they're stuck, and then I kind of mold the coaching to fit what their needs are. So sometimes it's a cheerleader. sometimes, you know, someone to say, you're doing the right thing, keep going. Sometimes it is purely educational. I have knowledge in an area where they need the knowledge. And sometimes it's really rigorous, introspective sort of training. And a lot of times as an actor, you know, this is the same everywhere, but as an actor, we're hired to play certain roles, but we are being hired to bring our specific perspective to the role. So an example I always like to give is, what if someone asked you to stand in front of a group of people and read from the phone book? There's something special in each of us that makes us read the phone book that special way. And we're going to do it whether we know we're doing it or not. So if I can teach actors how to harness that and figure out who they actually are, their full self, then I can teach them how to expose that and to know that they're special. They've got a special perspective based on everything that they've been through in their life culminates into that moment, that performance.
I'm just now imagining various well-known people reading the phone book.
Can you imagine? You have a James Earl Jones.
That's exactly the first person in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Because you hear that voice, and then you think of somebody like Jane Fonda just came to mind. I don't know why. But whoever it is, no one's going to read it the same way. Same text, totally different. So it's very inspiring. And we think in life that we really need to be carbon copies of each other,
mm-hmm.
because that's what's most acceptable. That's what's more expected. But I think most businesses, at least the businesses that I'd like to work for, hopefully honor the individual.
Mm. So who are typically the people that you're working with now?
I typically work with, it could be actors really of all ages. They need to be people who are interested in really pursuing it as a profession as opposed to a hobby, because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot you can do on your own if it's a hobby. And
sure.
You know, frankly, this costs money to be getting advice on careers, and there are many other things you could spend money on if it was just a hobby. So I ask that they be pursuing it seriously as a profession. I don't usually work with many kids anymore. I think that kids should go and have fun and be in school. And I think that, and in being acting classes, I think they can learn quite a bit there. So I work with a lot of adults from those who are in college all the way. I mean, I've got a client who's 72. and what's exciting is that he's reentered the world after being away, after he had kids. So he acted when he was younger and then took a break, and now he's coming back, and it's very exciting to watch.
So the people who come to you, they've already made the decision. They may have done some dabbling and tried it out. They may have tried it as a hobby, and now they're at that point where I'm ready to take this on.
Exactly right. And that's so it's the decision to do that, that commitment that's important, not so much what level they're at. I deal with true beginners and people also who have been in the business for years, people who have been on Broadway, people who are still on Broadway, because most people don't feel content where they are. They may have some contentment, but usually people still have wants and needs that are beyond what they have. And having a coach, somebody who can be that outside eye while you are trying to make that transition, can be very useful.
And do you work entirely as a one-on-one coach, or do anything classes or workshops?
I mostly do one-on-one coaching. I do a once-a-month event, which I call my bite-sized business soiree, and it is part masterclass, part networking mixer, and that's something that I do once a month, trying to give my students and their friends a chance to meet with each other, and I pick a topic that I think is of interest in the business. Like, I might talk about social networking, like talk about how to use Twitter and in Facebook, how to use that for your career, or I might talk about understanding and breaking down the casting process. And we talk about it in a masterclass environment where there's a very small amount of actors who are chewing on this topic together, and then we do a networking mixer where they can get to know some other folks and build a community. So I do that once a month, but mostly it's one-on-one.
And have you ever done a distance coaching, or does it not work with what you do?
I have, and do it actually quite a bit. Doing coaching by phone or by Skype is really easy. The only thing that I have not yet done, I don't think it would work, would be audition coaching, which I do. I do coaching on monologues and scene work with actors. From the business perspective, which is kind of odd, auditions are not like, if you think about auditions are equal to interviews. When it comes to the acting world versus the traditional business world. So an interview, even if you were demonstrating some of your skills, it's not real. It's not your real job. So you need to learn how to exhibit those skills in an interview style, and then you go do the actual work when you get hired. And it's the same thing for acting. Auditions are not real acting, though it has elements of acting.
Well, what might be an example of something you might show somebody in that scenario?
Well, like using the phone book example, when someone brings in, let's say tomorrow there are auditions here in New York for the revival of Angels in America. And so we all know, we've seen the movie on HBO. A lot of people have probably seen the performances that, it was almost 20 years ago. In fact, it might have been 20 years ago when they did it, and that might be why they're bringing it back now. Mm. We have a very strong feeling about what the plays were about at that time, and there would be the instincts to try to copy what some of these actors and actresses had done in the show. And one of the things I'll work on with actors is, how do you take what you learned in the classroom, as in your acting classes, and now bring yourself to the audition room, learn how to deal with nerves, learn how to be yourself when you walk in, but still be able to build the character as you go. If you can just imagine having to shake hands with people and then all of a sudden turn into somebody else, it's quite a trick. So we try to make it as seamless as possible. And really exposing, again, trying not to be a carbon copy of what you've seen before. Try to bring yourself to it while still honoring the roles that that have been written by this wonderful playwright.
For some reason, the idea that you could probably use some of the same techniques to coach people and who go on blind dates.
In fact, yes. Well, I talk about that all the time with my students. Consider this a blind date when you meet an agent or a casting director, and a lot of people want – I always joke – when you go into a blind date, you don't say, okay, and for a wife, I'm looking for this, this, and this, or for a husband. But that's what actors do when they go into meetings with agents and casting directors. And it's the initial meeting, and they expect that a relationship's going to be built in, 10 minutes? So I try to teach actors how to have realistic expectations and create a little mystery.
Actually, I think a blind date like that in India might work that way.
Right.
I'm looking for a wife who would be able to have at least 10 children.
Exactly right. That doesn't really work here.
No, doesn't work here.
Right. I don't want my mom involved in my career. No, thank you. As much as I love her. No.
Oh, too funny. What was I going to ask you? My mind just went in an entirely different direction.
It's what happens when we role play, you know.
Well, I love role playing.
I took
years ago some several years of improv classes that I use to this day in coaching. The training I got in improv is actually some of the best training I ever got for anything.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's terrifying though, isn't it?
It's on a par with you know, doing straight comedy, like getting up and doing comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's terrifying too.
But the difference being, though, that you have support.
Mm-hmm.
At least you ought to be having support. Somebody's supposed to have your back when you're doing that.
Right.
Whereas you're all by yourself when you're doing comedy.
Right. Right.
And I've done both, so I could speak to both kinds of fears.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, when did you start the Actors Enterprise?
The Actors Enterprise is I started it once I moved to New York City in August of 2007. So it's been going for almost 2.5 years now here in this incarnation.
And where do you see yourself taking it?
That's a good question. No one's ever asked me that before. I honestly think it's going to be more of the same. The coaching comprises, I have a couple of different services. There's the one-on-one coaching. I also design websites and design postcards and business cards for actors. So the next step for me will be to bring on some more designers to help me with the design of the website and postcard graphic design aspects. And then the next step will be to bring on an assistant so that because I'm right now one man, one woman operation. And it's grown so big that it's starting to not leave enough hours for the acting stuff that I want to do. And I think that's very important for people to remember what their livelihood is and not let even if you're passionate about your survival job or that thing that brings in your money, making sure you keep time for the things that really feed you and feed your soul. It will continue to expand, but I imagine it'll always stay one-on-one because that's what I get the most, that's what I have the most passion for, that intimate connection I have with another person and inspiring them to be everything that I know that they can be. And it's always within themselves. And I'm sure you're the same way with your clients too. It's amazing what people are capable of.
I also see, though, that you have something that could potentially be a lot larger if you wanted it to, without necessarily impacting your passion of performance. Because
it's true.
You could clone yourself.
I could, you know. Science is really progressing.
I actually didn't mean that quite literally.
No, I know. Oh, you.
But, you know, once you said that, I was thinking, you know, okay, I'll get my home cloning kit out.
Exactly. Well, they're not that expensive if you get them on the internet, you know. Really good. But you can – I think that there are a lot of people who have I've been thinking about kind of molding somebody. A lot of the other coaching companies that I know about, they will bring on other coaches when they want to grow and continue to grow. And especially I've been talking to somebody in Los Angeles who it may just make sense to have someone out there doing the same thing. It's an interesting prospect. Do you have other people working for you?
Not yet, but that's certainly an area that I look to for the future.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to collaborate and share war stories, see how that works.
Yes, we could put our minds together and, dare I say it, rule the world.
Rule the world. Take over the world. Landmark style.
I was thinking Stewie Griffin style, but landmark style works.
Oh, that's
works
even
well
better.
Well.
Oh, did you see the most recent something, something, something dark side?
Yes.
it's quite good.
Oh, what a show. That's what a demented mind of Mr. McFarlane.
Yes.
I cannot get enough of that. It's one of these things that I can get off into all sorts of intellectual pursuits and highfalutin ideas, but at the end of the day, what I want to do is go home and watch Family Guy.
Yep. I mean, yeah, you can't beat the mama.
What?
It's really funny every time. I can't too much. So sorry, everybody, that you had to sit through Family Guy quoting. We're not nearly as funny, but we're having a good time.
What the deuce?
What the deuce, yes.
Yes, I envy that. That's speaking of guys who's a number of skills that man has as a voice talent really impresses me.
Yes. Well, if you've watched in this most recent DVD of The Empire Strikes Back, something, 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 Dark Side, there's a commentary. It's almost like pop-up video commentary, where it's little blurbs that come up on the screen. And as the movie starts, it counts out how many different voices that Seth did in the movie. So it would say, oh, that's number one, two, three, four, five, as he's, you know, a crowd of people. And I don't know how many different voices he did. More than 20, but I don't remember how many, but it was fascinating to listen to.
I wonder if he pays himself for each one of them. Separate
I would
checks.
If I were him, for sure.
And he's also a terrific singer. Have you heard him sing?
Oh,
he's a terrific singer.
Oh, yes. I love that they do musicals on the show. Because then, you know, they do Shapoopy, which is
love
a
that.
Huge musical theater number from The Music Man. And, you know, you know, it's very exciting for me.
I actually have I use a voicemail service called Umail.
Mm-hmm.
It is the greatest thing in the world. It's totally free, umail.com. And you can give people various things that they will hear when they call you.
Oh, I love it.
Everything from their name, that they recognize the name, and this woman's voice will say your name, to specific recordings. And it's, since it's free, you could use so many of them. And one of them that I found, somebody had uploaded the Family Guy Shapoopy song. And there's a certain friend of mine who now hears that when he calls me.
Uh-huh. And does he realize it's been hand-picked for him, or does he think everyone hears
Shapoopy? I don't know. Somebody else here hears Quagmire, so.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And thinks that I'm just demented, which I. Mm-hmm. It's another story. I'm a coach and I'm demented.
Yep. Yep.
You can be. You can be doing great things for the world and have a demented sense of humor.
I think it's almost required, because how you take on all of these other things in your life, and you need mm-hmm. to let loose somehow without killing somebody. So this is the way to go.
So let's see. So what sort of advice, actually, you know, as a coach, most coaches, we're not in the advice business.
Mm-hmm.
You might be more in the advice business than I would be.
Right. Yeah, we have a little bit of a different set of requirements. In fact, there's no rule book with what I do. Yeah, it's a little bit different, but I don't, because I pass off the people I need to get real advice to, and I give them to the life coaches. So I lovingly refer them.
Well, this is good news.
I know, right?
Absolutely. But so, what's the best advice you give to somebody who's at that point of making the decision?
At the point of making the decision of whether they want to be an actor or not.
Sure.
Well,
I mean the person who's made that, like, I'm ready.
Yep.
What's, like, the most important thing for that person to know?
They need patience and to be open to what they're going to be experiencing the next, in the weeks and the months and the years as they build their career. One of the things that I spend a lot of time reassuring actors is that the business, and to a certain extent, what you coach on as well in, motivation and that sort of thing, it's not born in us. The business, certainly not. We are not born understanding economics. We're not born understanding the supply and demand or any of that, anything with advertising. Most people who want to start a business go and get their MBAs. That's usually what they do. So when an artist comes to me and says, I want to be an actor, and I just, anytime I think of the business, I get faint and I want to throw up. I say, don't worry. You don't like it because you think you're supposed to know it already. And they don't teach the business in acting school. You learn how to be a good actor, but not a good salesperson, not a good business owner. So I just reassure them that anyone can learn the business, whether you like it or not. I think you're born with it or not, if you have kind of a real passion and a drive for it like I do. But it's a learned skill. And once they kind of get that, and I also say that those who hate the business, oftentimes it's not that they hate the business, it's that they hate not being able to do the business.
Mm.
And when they actually learn a little bit of it, they find it's very creative, lots of fun, and especially when you're your own boss, you can kill a project anytime you want to, start up and do something new. I always make the joke that, when you're your own boss, you find out your boss is a jerk, but your boss will give you time off whenever you want it, so it's good.
This is very true.
Yeah.
So what are the biggest pitfalls for somebody coming to you?
Probably the biggest pitfall, I think this is across all industries, is the amount of time that you're willing and energy that you're willing to put into your career, but I think particularly so with actors. There's a sort of feeling that anyone can be an actor because all you do is go and you play act and you say words. And
right.
Just like on the TV show Extras, he says, I had to say words. They give them to me. They tell me where to stand. I stand there. You know, it's that easy. But it's not really that easy, and it takes a lot of time. You know, there was an article in the New York Times about this arts and crafts website called Etsy, which is kind of like the eBay for artisans. And the name of the article was called "That Hobby Looks Like a Lot of Work." And it's about these artisans who have quit their day jobs and started up these arts and crafts businesses, and the amount of sheer hours that it takes to put their business together, and the kind of impact that it has on their family life and their social lives and whatnot, and their finances. And it occurred to me as I was reading this, and in fact, I just wrote a blog post about this on my website. I posed a question to actors. So, how many hours do you spend on your business every day? And I'm not kidding. Many actors spend two or fewer hours a day on their business.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them might only spend 5 hours per week because they put so much emphasis on making an income in their day jobs. And I have to have a very serious conversation with most actors and say, that's not going to cut it. And you're going to fight against that. You're going to want to argue with me about that. If you really want to do this, you need to take a cue from these people in other industries who work 12 hours a day on their businesses. The difference between actors and somebody who is an artisan is they have to create their product before they can sell it. So an artisan has to create the scarves or the paintings or whatever it is. An actor also has to do that, but actors kind of deliver when they get the job. And so they think that's all they have to do is just get the job. But there is 99% of the work is just trying to get the job. And they're not spending that kind of time. And that is the hardest thing to teach actors. That's the biggest pitfall of this business.
So in the business of acting, how many hours a day would you say it would take?
I think it does vary for other people. It's about what kind of life you want to have as an actor and what your timetable is. There are people who feel like they're in their midlife and they feel like they don't have a lot of time to waste, whereas maybe someone who's 18 feels like they have all the time in the world. Someone who doesn't feel like they have time to waste needs to spend more hours per day because the results need to happen a little faster. But I would say what I do, because I'm balancing a day job and my acting career, or my love, my passion, and then the thing I do to feed that passion, I try to make it equal. So if I'm going to work 4 hours a day on my coaching business, I'd like to work 4 hours a day on my acting business. And that's what I try to do week to week. And I encourage actors to first, when I work with them on time management, I encourage them to think about what's the ideal situation. When you think about what kind of life you want to lead, what does it look like? How many hours a week do you work on this or that? And we create the ideal life first, and then we look at the real life and what you actually have to deal with, and we add back in the kids, and we add back in the family and all those commitments that you have with the day job, and we find a way to blend the two together. So it varies. Each person is going to vary a little bit, but yeah, I would just say balance. Having a nice balance is what I always recommend.
So tell me about the hours that you spend in the business of acting. Like, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness! So acting is almost, well, it's divided up a lot of the same ways as other businesses. You have research, so you're researching your industry so that you are all up on the trends. You're educating yourself on things. So I might spend a lot of time on industry websites like Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Backstage, which is an acting publication, reading the New York Times, reading plays, reading books, watching movies, going to plays, and that's all in the research section. Then there's education, so teaching myself new skills. I'm a singer, So I take a musical theater performance class every week. I have a voice teacher that I work with every week. I take dance classes. And then I work every single day on my voice, learning new music. So that's an education portion. And then there's networking, meeting all the people in the industry. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So on a typical day like today, how I balanced my day is I got up rather late because I was up rather late last night. I answered all of my emails this morning, got everything squared away, made some submissions to some acting projects, did a coached a client. Then I got back to answering my emails and was doing further research, reading blogs. I do a lot of blog reading, taught another student, and then blended my acting and coaching a little bit by doing an event this evening, which was an acting class for people interested in film and television. And I was there as be considered kind of like a host, but they call it monitors. Somebody who monitors a class is someone who checks people in. I ran the camera so that people could see what they looked like while they were working, mm-hmm. and got to meet the casting director who was teaching the class. And turned out we had a film that we're both involved with that we didn't realize we would be meeting each other shortly. So it was a great networking opportunity as well. And then I came, and now we're talking. So that's the things change in a day, but that's sort of back and forth, and switching coaching hat to an acting hat happens every single day for me.
No, I heard nothing painful in any of those things. So I was expecting you to tell me something very drudge-like, and I'm sure that some of those things that happen in your business of acting life.
Well, a lot of people find that to be drudgery. I think the hardest thing that actors, I'm very good with time management, mm-hmm. and switching back and forth. Most people, it's a skill that takes a lot of years to learn. And most actors know they have things they want to do, and then they kind of sit at their computer, and it's like this blank stare washes over them, and they don't know, oh, what am I supposed to do now? And luckily I've been doing this a long time, so I can self-motivate. But that's the scariest, but that's the drudgery, is actually thinking up what I have to do today, not the actual execution of it.
So creating a plan on a daily basis?
Oh, yes. Yes, and a weekly basis and a monthly basis, learning how to make smart goals and being able to test the results. That's the drudgery, is kind of creating those systems, I think. Do you find that as well when you're working with your clients, that sometimes it's creating the systems that's the hardest?
Creating the systems can be. It depends on who I'm working with. And some people are just so averse to it, and that's where it becomes a challenge.
Right.
Getting somebody to get that if you don't have a system or you don't have a way of working that's going to be consistent, you can't have consistent results.
Right, exactly right.
But I know that you do some, what you've described as a kind of branding of some,
mm-hmm.
of an act. So, like, how do you do that sort of thing?
Oh, it's a very proprietary process. No, I kid. I work with actors on trying to figure out, well, first, there are... especially here in New York, in a major center for artistic life, for theater, Los Angeles, New York in particular, when there's a lot of work to be had, actors have the luxury of specializing in what they do. You're going to find an expert in every niche of this industry, somebody who just does that one thing and that's all they do. So I guide actors through a process to find out, let's not just think about what you can do, because you're multi-talented. You can do many things, but what do you actually want to do? And once we figure out what kind of career they want for themselves, what are the things that really make them passionate, then we can create a package around what that is. And you've probably heard, especially with your background in the arts, of this idea of typecasting, right?
Sure.
So I believe that typecasting is actually your best friend, because it means you'll work, because someone sees something in you that makes sense, so they want to cast you in it. But the problem is, when you allow others to typecast you, then you have no control. So I teach actors how to determine what they want, and then they typecast themselves, and they make sure that their identity is just screamed from the rafters. And then their job, and my job as a coach, is to send them out into the world and see if people get it. And if someone doesn't get it, if someone says, I'm a romantic comedy gal, and I send them out and they believe that this is an action hero, we need to go back in and refine our package. And that's what I help actors do. So that's a very cursory sort of description.
What do you do with when you have somebody who their what they think is their type is so not clearly not?
Oh, it's really hard. It's on a case-by-case basis. I try to find a way that I can actually package them that way, that we can find something that connects. Sometimes it happens with age range. Like someone really believes that they are younger, they look, appear younger
yeah.
than they do or older than they do. And I try to find other routes to getting them the kind of career that they want, empowering them, making them feel like $1 million while also keeping them very grounded. I don't have any specific examples without getting personal about any of my clients. But,
sure.
But it's a very big problem. I'm sure you have the same situation, someone who believes that they are CEO material, and you go, ooh, Well, let's see. Let's see what we can do with that.
I was just, you know, are you familiar with the very famous Dudley Moore, Peter Cook sketch about the one-legged man trying out for Tarzan?
You have to remind me. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's probably on YouTube somewhere.
Okay, absolutely.
I hope. It's you know, it's from the early 60s, and this it's an audition of this one-legged man who is determined to get a tryout as Tarzan, and of course it's like it's very delusional. And it's like the fellow who's like the director of this is trying to be as polite as he possibly can be to explain that this is a bipedal job and you're a unipedal or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and a lot of people don't realize this, and then we go, oh, right. You know, the arts, and in particular acting, is the one place where biases are completely acceptable. In a way that in the normal workplace they're not. You're supposed to be sort of colorblind and genderblind in all aspects of professional life except in acting. And they can very exactly tell you how much you're supposed to weigh for this role, what you're supposed to look like, your hair color, your skin color, freckles, no freckles. They can be very biased and that's just kind of the way it is. It's kind of fascinating. So you do, and there are people have a sensibility about them, and we as just human beings get people at a gut level pretty easily. You know,
sure.
Someone's the shy person or the bossy person, or you can just sort of tell when you meet them, and that kind of it also translates to the screen. So if anybody happens to go to my websites, and you can go to my acting website too, which is aaronchronican.com, you'll see my pictures, and you'll know that what I mean when I say I will never be cast as a character like the ones that Angelina Jolie plays, ever. And I could try to want that, and it really won't. Well, I could probably get a lot of surgery, maybe. but I'm a mix between Amy Adams and Rachel McAdams, all the Adams people. I'm basically mixed up.
As long as it's not the Adams family, you're
well,
doing
you know,
well.
It's two D's kind of messes that whole thing up, you know. I'm a quirky, you know, romantic comedy or dramedy girl. I do the Grey's Anatomy style stuff, and I can do a little bit more dramatic than that, or a little bit more quirky than that, but that's pretty much it. Now, if it's a romantic comedy that then turns into an action movie, I am there. But you know, and that's something that I'm just lucky I don't want to be in action movies.
Right.
So there are those situations where someone just craves a certain kind of project. So, I mean, we can do quite a bit.
There's all kinds of possibilities. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it can be as creative as anybody can write something that hasn't been written before.
Exactly right. And I use this as an example all the time. This idea of leading man versus character, actor, it all is in the writing. Exactly what you just said. If you think about a movie like, I use this example all the time, Sideways with Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church.
Uh-huh.
That is a classic example of the character actor and the leading man switching, because the roles in the movie, Paul Giamatti is playing the leading man role, and Thomas Hayden Church is playing the best friend who does all these wacky shenanigans, and they are cast completely against type there. I mean, they aren't, because they're written as the movie star or the soap actor, and this kind of undesirable putz sort of idea, but it's because they were written that way. And there's always, just like you said, there's so many possibilities if you just get the right writer.
Or look at, you know, Woody Allen, who created himself, despite his extremely nebbishy and very specific type, but he managed to be this some sort of a leading man with some of the most beautiful women in Hollywood.
Absolutely. I think it's almost a misnomer to call it leading man versus character. It's almost two apples and oranges in a way. It's really about an interesting story, and is it written with your qualities in mind? And I think there's room for everybody in this business.
You know what just popped into my head? You'll never guess, so I'll tell you. If you got this, I think it'd have to, like, give you a huge prize. And so you remember the movie Fantasia? Have you ever seen it?
Oh, yeah.
The dancing hippos?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an example of somebody who is going out and casting themselves as ballerinas,
mm-hmm.
right? They are... In their minds, they are these graceful creatures wearing tutus, but they're hippos,
right?
Imagine having a client who comes to you, and now that's how they see themselves. What would you do?
Yep. Yeah, you have to find a way to blend their reality with my reality, and the interesting thing is my reality is not the same as a casting director's reality. Everyone is an individual, so just as soon as I could say yes, another person could say no. So it's about committing to your vision, communicating it as well as you can, and almost when everyone says no, you just kind of do it anyway. You can just self-produce, which is what Woody Allen did.
And remember, those dancing hippos did get the part.
Yeah.
I'm sure their agent said, you'll never get that part.
Yeah, you'll never work in this town again.
You never work in this town again. Are you kidding me with that figure?
No.
Forget about it. Kid, come on, kid. You got to lose weight.
Yep.
Take these little pills. They're fine. They won't hurt you.
True.
I told that to Judy yesterday.
Seen Fantasia 3 and 4, where, you know, they're all smoking in the back room, you know, and they're, you know.
Those are direct to video, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. Painful.
Just that I'd throw out a little terminology to show how withered I am.
I was there with you. I was like, man, this guy gets it.
This guy knows the biz. See, I'm throwing in biz as if I'm, you know, really in it.
Right.
Well I do have right. I do have the card, you know,
you
so that makes me
card.
I have
You're
a sack.
Qualified to vote in the for these.
Yeah, which I have to do by noon tomorrow. And I actually have I'm halfway through Inglourious Basterds.
Oh yeah, are you enjoying it?
Quite an excellent movie.
Good. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. That's I probably have my sort of my favorites, but I'm going to try to watch at least part of it tonight, and the part of Precious tonight. It's late, though. When do I have time to do these things?
Well, you're going to have to be up late if you want to watch
them
and vote. Well,
exactly.
Or you could just vote because I like her face or I like his, which a lot of people do.
Yes, well, sure. Best marketing, sure, because if you noticed even, you know, the screeners that we received, you think about, well, this is a note for sort of anybody. I always remind actors that you're a consumer too. So notice what you love and what you respond to, and then that's how you run your business. That's the kind of spirit that you engender in your business. And so I'm thinking about these screeners, and Up in the Air is just beautiful, and some of them just came in an envelope with barely even a label on them. It's like, well, people aren't really taking their marketing very seriously.
That's right. And so for people who have no idea what we're talking about.
Right. So sorry. Well, but then again, you've been talking to an acting, coach this whole time. So
That's true. But
they
just,
might have tuned out already, and then won't they be sorry?
They won't. Yeah, that's right, because I might have invited them to watch one of these screeners. You never know.
Yeah. See,
but
it's
anybody wanting to know what we're talking about, if you're in the Screen Actors Guild, they send you every year a handful of current movies that they're hoping you're going to vote on. And they usually come too late to actually watch and vote.
Right.
This year, I've gotten all. They send five usually every year, and this year I've gotten all five before the voting ended,
which
is the
remarkable.
First time that's happened.
Yep.
I often get like two movies like the next day, and it's like, well, you just wasted a lot of postage, but thanks for the movie.
Thank you. I'll take it.
I will take it.
But you're supposed to cut them up. I
laugh. Yeah.
I almost did my own spit take. But, yeah, you're supposed to, they will very politely tell you on screen that you are supposed to cut up the DVD when you're done watching.
I've actually never seen that on, maybe I've blinked.
It's probably when you're getting your popcorn. And you're telling everybody, be quiet, the movie's starting. Yep. They're like, please destroy this.
Well, they should make it the Mission Impossible style screeners that, self-destruct.
Sure, or Inspector Gadget, one of the two.
Absolutely.
That's where my brain goes, right? Yep.
So at this point, I wanted to start letting people know, what's up for you, how to get in touch with you, anything that you'd like to announce or promote or anything fun.
Anything fun. Well, those of you who think, she seems like a neat actor, if you can go to my website, which is erinchronican.com.
Spell it for the good people.
Oh, my goodness. It's erinchronican.com. erinchronican.com. If you even get some variation of that in Google, my name will pop up. But I do quite a bit of film and TV work, and I just got another booking on One Life to Live. This will be my sixth episode. Third different character. I'm wondering if the residents of Landview are very confused by having me play all these different roles. So I'm shooting that next week, and it'll probably air in about 6 weeks from then. And I always put the clips up on my website there. Other than that, anybody who has any questions at all can feel free to email me through my website, or they can email me directly using erin@theactorsenterprise.org. Because I will answer questions and put them up on my blog, which is linked from my website. And I'm here really to help anybody who has any needs. If you poke around my website, you'll even see I have a resource directory. But anytime I'm on a website that's great for actors or any business owners, really, but especially actors, I will log it into this resource directory. The blog is organized by keyword. So I have all kinds of resources available. I'm trying to do most of the work for actors when they're.
How often do you write on your blog?
I have a commitment to. I have two blogs: my acting one and my coaching one, and I write in one blog every day. So I'm 3 to 4 times a week, and I also have Twitter and Facebook pages. And all these things have different content. So no matter what social networking site you use, you could feel comfortable being following me on all of them, because I'm not going to put the same information twice.
Well, what's your Twitter name? Or do you have more than one?
It's Erin Chronican. It's my full name.
Okay. By the way, I'm Coach Andrew.
Coach, you slid in there and got that fast. Coach,
yeah.
Andrew, that's good.
I am Coach Andrew everywhere I go.
Good. Normally I'd be the Actors Enterprise, but it was too long for Twitter.
Right.
And I thought, oh gosh, what am I going to do now? So... I went ahead and branded it, and I do both at the same time. I find that, with social networking, people want to know you as a person more than just your business. So it actually worked out really well, because it kind of forced me to do that.
Well, one of the things I do because of, my name, Poretz, P-O-R-E-T-Z, and I can spell it 100 times, and people somehow manage to turn it inside out. more often than not DePortez, and as a result of which, I actually own the domain name andrewportez.com.
Very smart.
Which, of course, forwards to andrewportez.com, which forwards
right.
to, you know, so it all goes to one spot.
Right, right.
But that's why I used to get upset about it, and I said, you know, that's the way it is. People are dyslexic.
Yep. Well, and they really are. I get called Erica all the time, and I go, really? Or Eric. And it's because my last name starts with C, and they just blend it all together. Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Harder to Coach Andrew, I don't get too many people find it easy to remember.
Very
and my futurecoach.com is easy to remember.
I wanted
to come up with something that if I met you on the street and I told you my website, you could probably find it even if you didn't write it down.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up one thing, and I won't take up too much time, but, you know, I tell people that anytime you find you're stuck or you have a problem, jump for joy, because that's when you're going to innovate. That's when you're going to create something even better. So you've created a name for yourself that's much, much easier for people to understand because you had a problem with your name and people not understanding it. So that's very exciting. I like that.
It's true. And by the way, I even if I go to karaoke, I will write on the little slips of paper, Coach Andrew.
Oh, yeah?
It's just a thing of mine. It's like wherever I go.
I was at karaoke late last night.
I am that man.
That's why I
had were you?
Yes, I was. It was fun.
Oh, where did
it
go?
It was really fun because it's on the Upper East Side called Top Tunes. And,
oh, okay.
And, yeah, it's really fun, and especially on the weekdays, there are not many people there. But when my first song always is Respect, and I am a little white girl, and I kind of surprise people a little bit. It's really fun because when the music comes on, they go, what? I go, wait, just a second. And then if after the first part you don't like it, I'll turn it off. It's okay. It's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I hope to get to see that.
Oh, it would be fun. Yeah, we could just do like a coach's time. We'll
coach's
motivate
karaoke.
Each other while we're singing karaoke.
Let's do coach's karaoke.
It'd be awesome.
Consider it done.
Folks,
you can look forward to hearing about Coach's Karaoke on a future call.
Love it.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, Erin Kronikan, for being
my guest
today.
Yes.
Erin from theactorsenterprise.org. You can learn more about her and see her very lovely pictures, by the way.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And... And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will be back next week at our regular bat time, same bat station. Have an outstanding next 7 days, and good night.